that's just storm. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host, and welcome back to WISP Holy Spirit Radio. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be here this morning, November 2nd, on the Feast of All Souls Day. I want to take a moment to thank Frank for producing our show and for Dale and Jane for having me back on the air for another broadcast. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be here. And today we're going to have a very, very terrific guest. Maria Allen will be our guest. Maria has a great story to share with our listeners, having many years of addiction and also a little bit of incarceration in her background. Maria is a woman who has been blessed by the Lord and has found her faith, and that faith has helped her to put addiction in her past. And so with that, we just want to thank God for the opportunity to bring her here on the show at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. And I want to welcome Maria right now on the air. Maria, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are we doing this morning?
Very good. How are you?
Blessed to be here.
Want to thank you for joining us on Holy Spirit Radio. And today we're going to give you a chance to give us a little bit of a history of how you got into drugs and incarceration, and how that has impacted your life in any way. We're also going to share with our listeners some statistics throughout the nation regarding overdose on various drugs. And so, Maria, I want to, again, thank you for joining us. And if you would give the listeners a little bit of a thumbnail sketch on how you got into, the drug using situation.
Well, I'm 47. I grew up in the environment of drugs. I have a family history where my mother and, well, mostly my father and my brother were involved with drugs. They sold it. They used it. So, you know, growing up in that, it wasn't, you know, to me, that was part of life, a normal life. My dad was incarcerated most of his life, so has my brother. I followed in the same, you know, footsteps as his. The first time I got incarcerated was I was 28 years old. I remember that. The second time, a few years ago. Been getting high since I was, since I can remember, about 19. And I just became clean and sober August 10th of 16. So it's been 2 years now I've been clean. My dad, he raised us up in a life of drugs and just incarceration. My dad wasn't really there. He wasn't really part of our lives. Like I said, he was always locked up. My mother was a single mother. She raised us up the best she could. She grew up in a violent home, so she raised us up with a lot of violence. My dad, he molested a lot of us. He molested my sister. You know, growing up, I think back and it didn't really think that it wasn't, that was life to me. And then I look at it, I'm like, wow, I'm a pretty strong woman to go through what I've gone through in life right now and see where I'm at right now. On my own, well, I can't say on my own, but with God's help, I know it's God's help. It's helped me over the years. You know, so it's just that, you know, we grew up in church, but it was never really enforced. We were raised at Pentecostal. My mother, she was troubled herself all her life. She grew up in a violent home, so she raised us up like that. My daughter is the one that kind of pushed me into, like, finally kind of helping me out, trying to straighten my life out one day. I remember she asked me, when am I going to take care of my kids? When am I going to take care of me? And that was on August 10th, and I remember I just got down on my knees and asked God, you know what? Yeah, I'm ready. I'm tired of this life. I have been shooting up dope and opiates for the past 10, 15 years. It's amazing what God can do. You know, I used to get up in the morning and I would have the needles ready so that I would get up and be ready to go. Oh, God, I hated it so much. I hated it, the passion. I never thought that I would get up in the morning and not have to need that kind of boost to get up. Now I get up, I have to be at work at 5. I get up extra early just so I can do my little reading in the morning. That's my boost now. It's getting up and I'll do my reading. And it gets me going. I don't have to have that needle no more. People don't really think that God really works. It really does work. If you put God first in your life, it does make a difference. It makes a big difference when you start putting God first in your life and you don't have to use some drugs anymore. I've done it for years.
And that's and Maria, as I'm here listening to your story, we have a unique opportunity to touch the people out there who are listening to our show. And I want to just take a moment to step back and thank you for being here. You know, I want to say God bless you. And for just the first 5 minutes of our program, you have shared, so much. And this is an incredible story, my friends who are listening out there. So, if you just tuned in with us, we're speaking with Maria Allen, age 47, a drug user for quite a few years, lining up her needles in the morning, getting up in the morning with that high, if you will. And then today you're putting God first in your life. But I want to go back a little bit to a couple things that you said. It was your father, actually, who, was molesting a lot of you in the family, and also your parents were drug users and selling drugs as well. So you've grown up in that environment. And as a child, really, you don't have a lot of control. You're growing up in a home and these things are going on. So, somehow you are a strong woman. God brought you through a lot of these things and you through this situation. Now, how old is your daughter?
She's 29 right now.
29. And what is her name?
Rachel.
So we just want to thank God for Rachel and for her being, on our program. We have had people who have interviewed with us, women, specifically Sarah Benica was the woman who died at 34, and she was a drug user, and she was involved with a lot of things, but she died of AIDS. And I just tell you, so you are blessed to be here. God given the opportunity to use your story to help many, many people. So, you started getting high at age 19, and today you're 2 years running. How does it feel to be green, 2 years? How do you feel
sometimes
about
it? Sometimes it still feels like I'm in an awe. When I wake up in the morning, I think I don't have to have that needle anymore. As soon as I get up, the first thing I do is I grab that phone and I get to reading. It feels, it's amazing. When you've been getting high for over 20 years,
20 years. Focus on basically have is the amazing thing that we all find at some point in our life, And so, so 2 years clean is a long time,
To me, yes. Two years.
It is. That's incredible. If you told me you're clean for 2 days or 2 weeks,
yeah,
I'd
even
say
one
just
day.
Getting started, But 2 years is credible, and we just thank God for that. Now, what was your drug of choice?
It was methamphetamines and opiates at the same time.
Okay, methamphetamines and opiates at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to. Just introduce a little bit of factual information, basically drug drugs that are involved in the U.S. that lead overdose deaths. And 72,000 drug overdose deaths took place in the year 2017, only a year ago. The sharpest increase occurred among deaths to fentanyl, and fentanyl analogs, which are synthetic opiates, with nearly 30,000 overdoses on 20,000 deaths for involving drugs. And in the year 2016, 63,632 people died of drug overdose. In 2017, there were 72,306 people who had died due to drug involvement. So you see, from 2002 to 2017, we see a tremendous rise and a trend that there's an increase in drug use. If we look at opiates, all right, in 2002, more than 10,000 people died who were involved with opiates. And also in 2016, 42,249 deaths took place. In 2017, more than 49,000 people died who were involved with opiates. From 2002 to 2017, again, there was a 4-to-1-fold increase in the total number of people who have died due to drug use. And again, with regard to a different drug, which is heroin, in the year 2002, approximately 2,000 deaths were taking place in the United States due to heroin, and in 2017, more than 15,958 people died due to an overdose on heroin. Right? And from 2002 to 2017, there was a 7.6-fold increase in the total number of deaths due to heroin. When we look at cocaine, the number of deaths involving cocaine in 2002 were more than 4,000 people who had died due to the use of cocaine. 2017, more than 14,556 people have died due to using cocaine. Women have become the fastest growing segment of the incarceration population. And I want to give you a little bit of a chance to talk about that. But as we focus on the drug use, Maria, you can see the trend is that people are using drugs more and more throughout the nation. It's not something that's just happening in the inner cities. Mm-hmm. It's widespread, you know. And so we're talking about methamphetamine, opiates, heroin, cocaine. And so if I ask you, what is your message to the youth out there who are basically 18, 19 years old, just in high school or coming out of high school? What would you say to them if we went into a school and the opportunity to speak to the youth?
Oh, my God, please. You know, first of all, that you are loved. You are very loved. Whether it be, you know, first of all, by God, you are loved. Because, you know, thinking back of, you know, myself, all my life, I've always felt that I've been unloved. And I think a lot of my drug use came from that, feeling unloved. And now that I'm in the Word a lot constantly, I'm starting to learn how to receive God's love. And once we can do that, then yeah, I think a lot of it comes from that, but feeling unloved and not wanted. One of my passions right now is to be a counselor for younger kids, and I want to let them know that there is somebody here for y'all. Please, I mean, oh God, if y'all can just look at the life that I lived, and you'll see that it is, I mean, the drugs is not worth it at all. It really, really isn't. I mean, I don't know how much I can, you know, express it to y'all that if you just put God first in your life, I promise you it will. I just give me the chance and I can show y'all what God can do. I mean, I've been shooting that for at least, you know, 15 years. If he can get me to stop doing that, I mean, there's so much more that he can do. I mean, he really, really can. Just
great message, you know. And Maria, you talked about, you know, you are love. And a lot of kids coming into our schools this morning basically feel neglected, you know, in some ways. And you mentioned that, you know, you felt unloved, and so that was a reason for your drug use. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is the Feast of All Souls Day. And I just want to mention and bring into our show here, you know, Saint Mother Teresa, who said that the greatest disease in the world was a lack of love. And, you know, God says the second greatest commandment is to love one another. And that's the one thing, you know, that I want to highlight here, because you said, you know, you felt unloved. and you're in a situation growing up with parents who are using and selling, and were your parents incarcerated at all?
My mother wasn't. My dad was. He was incarcerated most of the time. I mean,
okay.
Yeah, I was growing up. That's why my mom raised us on the
right. Okay. So you're growing up in a single-parent situation due to incarceration. Yeah. And so this is a tough thing. How old were you when you realized what your parents were doing?
Honestly, I didn't think there was nothing wrong with it until I started selling, I guess, when I was a teenager. Because, like I said, that was the norm in our life. Like, that was just part of life. Selling drugs, going to prison, that was life. And I remember the first time I went in, I'm laying there, like, as soon as I got there, I'm laying there thinking, my God, what am I doing here? What am I doing in prison? I mean, it just hit me about what, I mean, it's just stuck. I mean, it's amazing that you think that's normal. I mean, I think that's normal.
Yeah, so you go from using drugs to selling drugs, and this is your life now. This is your work. This is your lifestyle. And it's the norm, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, you're laying in prison, and your freedom is now taken away from you. And as you get, into that situation, what were some of the challenges that you had to go through in being incarcerated?
At the time, I only had one daughter the first time I went in. Not being able to be there for her. I left her at the age that she needed me the most. She's like 9 years old when I left her. I left her for about 4 years. And I'm still kind of paying the consequences from that time because I'm not as close to her as I would love to be. We have our issues. We have our problems and stuff that, we're getting through them and stuff. But, I mean, mostly it was being away from her, not being told when to go use the restroom, when to take a shower. I'm sad to say, but I'm used to that life. I really am. If I was to get locked up again, it wouldn't be such a big issue to me. My mentality is already, and that's sad to say, but
right.
It is. It really is. I mean, my mentality is being locked up, and I'm okay with it.
How much time have you spent incarcerated?
4, 5, 6, about 7 years in total.
So 7 years, and that's significant. That really is. That allows you to really get comfortable with that environment, if you can, in any way. And we've had many people come through the WINGS program, for many years, who have been incarcerated for a good length of time. So 7 years, as you go through your life, you see that 7 years taken away from this, but today you've got the opportunity to live life to the fullest with God's help. And you mentioned that you were selling drugs out there and going to prison. So what's the most amount of money you ever made from selling drugs?
The first time before I got locked up the first time, I remember getting robbed one time, and we had money put up. I remember, frame at the door. We had it stashed up there. And I remember getting robbed. And my daughter, they had asked my daughter where the money was at. And I was like, oh, my God, all that money. And it was over $100,000 that we had saved up. It's like $110,000 that we had owned 3 houses and about 4 or 5 cars. And this is when my daughter was, 9 years old. So when they asked where the money was at, I was like, oh, my God, I don't know. I was like, it's okay. We'll get it back. But no, she didn't say nothing. She needed to keep her mouth shut.
So your home was broken into?
Yeah.
And someone came and they stole?
They...
$110,000.
Yeah, they stuck my daughter in the room and they handcuffed me. They beat up my husband at the time when I was married. They robbed us with whatever they did find in the house.
Okay.
But we hardly did keep nothing in the house.
So this was a home invasion, really?
There you go.
Yeah. Did you know the person?
No, we never find out.
But they knew you.
Mm-hmm.
They knew of you, and they broke in, and they came. Did they come in with the
guns? Mm-hmm. With the guns. Mm-hmm. And everything. I mean,
right.
Even now, I still kind of think back. There's certain songs that play, and that'll remind me of that day.
Yeah.
I will never forget that day.
Was your husband involved in the sale of drugs to him?
He's a good man. He really is. I thank God for him. I think he kept me grounded most of the time that we were married. I was married for 23 years, and he divorced me. And I don't blame him. I really don't. I thank God for him every day. Even though, we have our issues right now, I thank God for him. He takes care of all my kids. He has custody of my kids right now. But he knew what we were doing. He would, but I was the one that would go out and do all the drug deals. And he stayed home with my daughter. He was mostly a homebody person. And you could say, I was the man in the relationship, and he was the woman. He would stay home, and I would go out because I was the one that knew people.
Right.
So, but, I mean, he really didn't like doing it, though. But he just did it because he loved me.
Okay. So, how old were you when you got married?
16.
16.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were married for 23 years?
Mm-hmm. 23.
And during that marriage, you were actually incarcerated? A period then?
Yeah. The second time we were already divorced. When I got incarcerated the second time, we were already divorced.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And three kids later. We have four kids in total. Mm-hmm. But when I got incarcerated the second time, my twins, they were 9 years old. Okay. So it was like a reminder all over again. It was like, I'm starting all over.
So how old are your children today?
Rachel, I have an older one's 29. I have a son that's 15, junior, and then I have my twins, Caleb and Kayla. They're 12.
Okay. And so you have four children who are watching you, mm-hmm. watching your your ex-husband, and they, they are out there. And one of the things God's Word says is to do not mislead the children. It would be better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and thrown into the ocean, okay, than to mislead the children. And that's one of the things that the consequences of misleading the children. So as you're growing up, we make mistakes sometimes, and the children see us as an example, positive or negative, and so they're watching us. And so how are your kids today? Have any of them followed in your footsteps or your parents' footsteps, or are they doing pretty
I'm
well?
I'm trying to break that cycle right now. I know, my ex-husband, he's a good man. So the love and beyond for his kids, I'm blessed with that. I do regret that. I'm not the type of person to try to force God, but I know, the Word says that we have to tell our kids about God and everything, but they've gotten to the point where they do their own thing. But my kids are pretty good. They really are. I don't have no issues with them. They know things that I've done, and they accept it. It doesn't bother them. I tell them that I don't want them to go through that same cycle that I did. So we push education on them really, really bad. We really do push them.
Very good. Very good. And, excuse me, Maria, there's a lot of education out there the kids receive in the schools. And the first school is really in the home by the mm-hmm. parents. And so, you have opportunity to lead your children, and you've been doing that. I know you have. And that's a beautiful thing for those twins who are 12 years old,
mm-hmm.
And your son who's 15 and Rachel who's 29. This is so important that we use, your story, of conversion, basically converting your life, changing your life to help them first and foremost, as well as other people in the communities, to make great decisions, to not use drugs, and to, live a life that's connected to God each and every day. And it's hard to do that, but we want to make every effort to not waste your, I believe that the most important thing you can ever give to a person is the love of God,
mm-hmm.
and which is the greatest gift in the world that you can ever give or receive from another person. But second to that, your story, your life story, is so valuable. It's very, very important. I believe God gives you that life to help other people, and through that story, of conversion, we can do that. Use this, radio show as a platform, and you know, this is very, very important. And I want to just take a moment, Maria, to step back a little bit and to remind our listeners that you're listening to Joe Montone here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. We're speaking with Maria Allen, a reformed drug user who has spent 7 years incarcerated. She was married and divorced. She has four children. And she is a great advocate today of having God in your life. She has gone from being unloved to really having the love of God within her life to get her up each and every morning. And this is a beautiful thing. So again, you're listening to 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. We're here at Holy Spirit Radio. It is the Feast of All Souls Day, and I want to thank Maria for joining us on the air. So Maria, I want to get back into your story now and just let you know that, you know, I'm really compassionate to your story, and we have had many people through the WINGS program. Now, the WINGS program is a program to help people to make practical changes in how they think. Change their life. It's a life-building program. WING stands for Winning Ideas, Nurturing Growth, and Success. And this is our 25th year in the WINGS program. WINGS program began in 1993 in elementary schools, moved into high schools and colleges, eight prisons, and many recovery homes. And we've had thousands of people come through the WINGS program. Today, we're heavily into the Philadelphia prison system with more than 1,600 people inside the system who have benefited from the WINGS program and done well. We've got an 80% success rate in the WINGS program, and people are, you know, doing well. And what that means is they're coming home early, mm-hmm. they're getting through probation, and they are basically staying home and engaging in work, education, family life, community service, and hobbies and sports. And so this is, you know, really a great program, which God blessed me with at the age of 33 to help people of all ages. We have people from men and women from age 18 up to 65 in the WINGS program who are inside, and we do seminars inside these facilities. But we have also worked for years in various recovery homes. And so today, my friends, we're focusing on, you know, the transition from being a drug user into becoming clean and sober. And Maria is clean now for 2 years, and I applaud you for that. Really, God bless you.
Thank you.
You know, and that is a beautiful thing because we have lost 11 people in the WINGS program who have overdosed on heroin. And that's only in the last 7 years. So this is a choice. People who have signed into our program for a seminar, you know, multiple seminars, actually made a decision tonight to use drugs, and they didn't make it the next day. So I have written many eulogies and attended many services, but I have no guilt because I've given 100% to help people. Makes sense? We have to continue to move forward. And with that, you know, again, we appreciate you being here to tell your story. And I want to go back to a part of your story that we really touched on in our previous show, which was about abuse in the home and domestic violence. And in your case, you know, the molestation from your father to, you know, some of you, your siblings mm-hmm. in the home growing up. And if you could tell us a little bit about how old were you when that began?
I think I was about 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And it went until I was older, like in my 30s, when I found out that my dad had, you know, molested one of my sisters and other family members. He's been doing it, God for God, yes. I've never even known.
And that's, you know, really a sad thing. And we really want to highlight that, you know, because, again, your child is really a victim of circumstance. He can't change the system in the home. You know, you're living with it day to day, and you're not old enough to move out or to mm-hmm. get help sometimes. And so for that reason, in the WINGS program, one of the four fundamentals of the WINGS program is called Priorities in Life, where we put God first, and then you, and then family, and then your work, and then community service, and then hobbies and sports. Mm-hmm. And we put you before family because of that reason, abuse in the home. When in a home, in many homes, family is put first by a woman, and she'll do anything to bring peace in the family. And if she's the mm-hmm. victim of abuse, she will take it on the chin and continue living there because it's the family. But in the WINGS program, we put you before family. And we do it that way so that, you know, if you're a victim of abuse, and it can be verbal abuse, it could be mental abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, financial abuse, we want to look at the priority list is that you are more important than the family and you need to get out and get help. 4,000 women every year are actually abused as girlfriends or wives in a home and family. For that reason, we put the victim before the family so she can get out and get some help. 30,000 cases every year, minimum, are reported of abuse. 1 in 3 women who are pregnant, during the pregnancy term, they actually go to the hospital, not because they're going for a checkup, but they're going because they've been abused during the pregnancy by the man. And so, you know, there is domestic, you know, abuse that's very prominent in the United States and around the world. But here we're talking about abuse, truly, mm-hmm. and we're looking at that. And so that's another message within your story that we want to get out to make sure that people are, you know, aware that if this is going on, we need to get some help. But in the WINGS program, it's God first, and then you, and then family, work, and then community service and hobbies and sports. These are the 6 areas that we highlight in the WINGS program. It's called priorities in life. And with that, we want to look at, you know, the time in a week from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Mm-hmm. We have 7 days in a week, and we have a total of 24 hours a day, 168 hours in a week. That's the total time available each and every week, and we have 52 sets of 168 each and every week. And so we want to make sure that we're spending time with God, time for you, time for your family, time for work, community service, giving back. God says, whatever you do for the least of your brothers, you've done it for me. And time for hobbies and sports. So as you build a new life and God comes into your life, we want to look at utilizing time in a positive way, nothing negative in the 168. Everything is positive. And basically, we're dividing our time into 6 categories. Makes sense? We also want to look at some balance. And by balance, I mean that you have spiritual, mental, and physical feeding for the body, the mind, and the soul. Everything is going up. You've got positive input into your mind for mental stimulation, your body for physical, and your spirit is being fed as well. And this gives you what we call balance. And when you're in balance, you have peace. And this is one of the goals in the WINGS program, to have more mm-hmm. peace and more joy in the WINGS program. Because if you don't have peace, mm-hmm. you've got something else. And by something else, what I'm talking about is you might have depression, anxiety, you might have fear, you might have jealousy, you might have, you know, some other things that steal your peace. And you're basically living in a 168, Monday through Sunday, without peace. And one of the goals, you know, is for people to get that peace. And we're talking about the peace of God, you know. One of the things that made Mother Teresa a real force for good was she had the word of God, the love of God, the peace of God that she brought to a lot of other people, as did other people like Martin Luther King Jr., who was rooted in the word of God, and millions of people followed him for the great cause to end segregation. But he had the peace of God that he could bring to other people. So with that, we have priorities in life. We have time management, which is the utilization of 168 hours a week in a positive way. And we have balance. So as you build a new life, Maria, you know, we look at the 4 fundamentals
in the Wings program. And the fourth one is called the Circle of Influence. The Circle of Influence is the people around you have got to be positive influences. They cannot be bringing you down, but they have to be building you up. So one of the things we have to do for all people in the Wings program is to build them up by creating a circle of good people around them who are really what we call true friends, who are there in good times and bad, and they're also building you up, and they're not tearing you down. They're not distracting you from God, but they're feeding you, you know, God's ways of doing things. And hence we have what we call winning ideas, nurturing growth, and success, the Wings program. So these are the four fundamentals of the Wings program, and we have to kind of live these out. And so I want to take a moment to go back to your story now. You're getting high at 19, okay? And so you have a son, Michael, who's 15, correct?
Junior, uh-huh.
Right, and so you know, today he's in high school?
Yeah, he. We have him on online school right now because I struggle with him. Because, and I feel bad. I mean, I feel like God's going to help me with him, but he has a weight problem right now. So we put him on online school because I know kids can kill me, and I shelter him too much. But that's just the love of a mother that we do this. So, but yeah, he's in high school, but he does online school though.
So okay, he's doing online learning.
Yeah.
So he has a weight problem. So he's out of balance.
Yeah,
physically.
Mm-hmm.
And what that can do is that can take your physical state, can take your mental state down. So because of an overweight issue, you can end up depressed. And one of the things I used to do, early on in the ministry, is bring meals to homebounds. Mm-hmm. And for 10 years, I was part of a group called Aid for Friends in Philadelphia who make 2 million meals a year. And they still do it. And through the church, I was able to support many families, some families every week for 13 months, one individual for 6 years every week bringing them meals. But I had two individuals who were overweight. One of them was Willie McKee, who actually weighed about 600 pounds, very, very heavy man.
Sometimes 500.
Yeah. And another man, Jim, who weighed close to 600 pounds as well. In fact, he got so heavy, he was unable to actually leave his home at one point, and they had to remove him, you know. So he's out of balance. So we have to look at, you know, the diet, the exercise for your son, Michael, to get his life back in order because, you know, in my family, diabetes runs throughout the family. And to avoid, you know, heart attacks, strokes, diabetes, three of the very, very important ailments that catch a lot of people. And my grandmother had amputation from diabetes, and my uncle had two amputations from diabetes. And this is something we want to avoid for your son. He's a young man.
Yeah,
he's 15 years old, and he's almost 500 pounds. So we have to take a look at, you know, how we can, you know, get him some help. But I want to focus now on you and where it is you see yourself in 1 year from today.
1 year from today in school, I really do. I mean, my passion is to be a counselor, do something with, you know, with kids, you know, to try to get them before they become, you know, teenagers, get them when they're somewhat listening to us, you know. At my twins are 12, and they somewhat listen to me right now, you know, but I've noticed that as they start getting older, and 12, 13, 14, sometimes it's just lost cause, and they won't listen to us. It's one ear off the other. We've been there, done that. If I can get them before that, and I can talk, I mean, I'm around kids all the time already, and I love telling them, you know, about God. I tell them about what I've gone through and everything, and it's just, I hope it gets through them. It really does. I hope it gets through them to let them know that, you know, please don't choose that path the way I did. Please don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So a year from now, I would like to be in school and to be able change somebody's life, at least even if it's just one person. I'd be happy with that.
And that's excellent. And so today, what I want you to do is I recommend that you find a school where you can get a degree in behavioral health as a drug and alcohol counselor, because you have a story and you know what it is to be, addicted. You know what it is to be incarcerated. Now you need the formal education so you can put the two together to be really a force for good for people who are addicted. Now, we introduced some statistics here showing that in the United States, there's a trend of more and more drug use. So that there's going to be a great need for you to, be a counselor either in schools or private practice, community centers. There's a lot of good you can do. So first and foremost, we always recommend that people who are now clean should be sponsors for other people in Narcotics Anonymous, Cocaine Anonymous, or Alcoholics Anonymous. Being a sponsor to help other people, on a day-to-day basis should be part of your life because you've got years of use. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
This ran your life for part of your life. And so we also recommend that you do exactly what you want to do, which is go to school and get a degree as a counselor. So you can get that position and working, 40 hours a week or more to build a private practice or work in an educational setting because you have the story, Marie. You know what it is to be addicted to methamphetamine and opiates. So tell me, have you ever overdosed?
No, by the grace of God, no. I've tried it. I've tried to take my own life twice. And by the grace of God, I'm not, and I thank God. I mean, I've even filmed it one time. I was so upset with my daughter one day, and I remember sitting in the bathroom telling her I kept shooting up, and I couldn't even get a vein, but I was filming it. I filmed it. I filmed myself trying to take my own life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened to the phone, but I remember doing that. I'm just like, God, thank God I didn't. It didn't go through.
Yeah, thank God. It's amazing.
I wouldn't be here now.
It would be a terrible memory, and I just tell you that, we have worked with people who are suicidal to bringing them back. And so I think it's really imperative that you really focus in the 168 on going to school and getting that degree and moving forward as a counselor, in the years to come.
Right.
I mean, this is going to be like a major thing. Now, in counseling, you can teach people a lot of things, but you can also bring in the faith element where you're focusing on God. As you said earlier today, you said putting God first. In the WINGS program, you see God is number one.
Right.
I learned how to do that. God taught me how to do it. It's the most important thing in the world. With that, everything, comes together. He says, seek thee first, the kingdom of God, and everything else will follow. And this is what we have to learn. We are not taught that in schools. We are taught to do math, English, computer science, language, and everything else, how to make money. But we're not taught how to put God first. In the WINGS program, lining up with what God says to do and not to do is the most important thing. And what that means is when we line up with what God says to do, we are guaranteed to get to the blessings of obedience. And this is the message from Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7. The blessings of obedience. And the Lord says, up here, he says, be careful to observe all the commandments I enjoin on you today, that you may live and increase and may enter in and possess the land which the Lord promised an oath to your fathers. And so in another place, the Lord says, be careful. He's telling them, Maria, Joe, he says, be careful. Be careful what you do every day in the 168 so that you can live and prosper. Don't deviate to the left or to the right, but do exactly as the Lord your God tells you to do. And by putting him number one, we have an opportunity to actually do that. And so by doing what he says to do, we can get to the blessings of obedience, which is so important. And this is the promise of Moses, which he says the blessings are that your reward for heeding these decrees and observing them carefully, the Lord your God will keep with you the mercifulness which he promised an oath to your fathers. He will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will bless the fruit of your womb and the produce of your soil, your grain and wine and oil, the issue of your herds and the young of your flocks. In the land which he swore to your fathers, he would give you. You will be blessed above all people. No man or woman among you shall be childless, nor shall your livestock be barren. The Lord will remove all sickness from you. He will not afflict you with any of the malignant diseases that you know are from Egypt, but will leave them with your enemies. You shall consume all the nations which the Lord your God will deliver up to you. So the blessings of obedience is the goal, because he's going to love you and bless you and multiply you. He's going to bless your work, your family, your children. He's going to put you in a home that's designed exactly for you. We have to get to the point where in the 168, we've got to line up with what he says to do. Not 6 days a week, but 7 days a week. And we've got to stop hurting ourselves and not hurting other people or misleading other people as role models in a negative way. We've got to get to line up, and then we can get to the blessings of obedience. Now, if we go the other way and we line up what he says not to do, right, then we get the consequences of life. The consequences of doing what he said to do can be very severe. We have men in the Wings program who have killed four people serving, life. We have men who've gotten a death penalty. We have people serving 50 years, or 25 to 50, 35 to 70. And the other thing is, if we're not doing what he says to do, many times we're going to do what we call WFG, what feels good. And that's what really we do sometimes. But we're in the opposite side. We don't have access to the blessings of obedience. You can't buy a blessing. When you're in the not-to-do zone, there's a dwell period. There's a period of time that we have to wait. Just like the Lord says here in the book of Deuteronomy, he says, remember how for 40 years now the Lord your God has directed all your journey in the desert, so as to test you by affliction and find out whether or not it was your intention to keep his commandments. He therefore let you be afflicted with hunger and then fed you with manna, a food unknown to you and your fathers, in order to show you that not by bread alone does man live, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of the Lord. And this is, you know, what happens in life. That's the analogy to people in the desert in the Old Testament. But what happens is, if we're doing what he says, what feels good instead of what he says to do, in our lives, we're going to stagnate. We have to wait. Because he's testing us. You have your faith, you're clean 2 years, but when will be the next time? That's what we want to know. We want to make sure that it never comes. So by engaging in school and education, you become a force for good and for doing God's work. And first and foremost, you're going to help yourself. The stronger you are, the more you can do for your children, the more you can do for Michael and Rachel and the twins, the more you can do for the community. Whatever you do for the least of your brothers, you've done it for me. And this is why in the Wings program, it's God, you, family, work, community service, and hobbies and sports. The stronger you are, the more you're going to be able to do for other people. And that is so important that we move forward. At 47 years old, Maria, you have opportunity to do some great things. And we want to, you know, encourage you and inspire you this morning on the radio to take action. The Wings program stands again for winning ideas, nurturing growth and success. If you're not growing, you're stagnating. And stagnation breeds depression. We want to be growing, moving up and out each and every day. That requires action. Inaction will breed stagnation. So, you know, in 10 years, you'll be 57. You'll have 10 years of tremendous growth. Make sense? Mm-hmm. You have another good 30 to 40 years to impact yourself and other people. And it's your decision, you know, that will allow you to go forward, you know, in one direction or another. So, you know, does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so as we talk on the radio, I want to just take a moment to remind our listeners, we're speaking here at Holy Spirit Radio on Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host. We're speaking with Maria Allen, a reformed drug user and who has been incarcerated for 7 years. She has four children, and she's clean for 2 years and doing great. She is looking forward to entering a program for drug and alcohol counseling. And Maria, if we look out beyond 1 year, let's go out 5 years now. Where do you see yourself 5 years from today? One or two things that you've always wanted to do but have never had the chance to do.
A better relationship with God, first of all. My daughter, my oldest daughter, that I struggle with her right now. We don't have that strong bond like I would love to, but I would love to have that mother-daughter, you know, relationship with her. To be able, you know, to have that job that I want, like that, to be a counselor, whatever it may be, you know. I know, no, in 5 years, I know I will be a counselor. I know I will be. I'm not giving up on that. I know I'm going to have my struggles. Nobody said it's going to be easy. I have my struggles now, but I invite it. I really do. That just lets me know that God has that much trust in me. If I have that much, you know, hard times or whatever, that's, and it just lets me know that God has that much trust in me that He knows that I can overcome it.
Yeah,
and I will.
Yeah, and you already have. And I applaud you for your success and for your courage to come here on the radio, Maria, to share your testimony,
thank
which
you.
Is so important. It's the first step in really, really moving up and out, because you might give 1,000 testimonies in the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And through the radio, all right, you have the opportunity to touch many people who are going to listen to this show this morning. And so we thank you, you know, for being here with us on the radio. And it is a very, very achievable goal to become a drug and alcohol counselor. And have you ever lost a friend to drugs?
No, not really, not. I mean, I've lost them in a way to where I've cut them out of my life. It hurts, because in reality right now, I don't. I cut myself off from a lot of people and family too. You know, one of the main people in my life was my brother. I had to cut him out of my life. And if y'all knew how close I was to this man, I chose him over my family. I chose him over my kids. I chose him over everybody in my life. I chose him over me. And for me to let him go, It took a lot. It really did. And, I mean, I struggle with it. I miss him, but...
May I ask why you cut him out of your life?
I had to cut him out of my life in order to stay clean and sober. I had to cut him and people that were still involved in that kind of life.
Okay, so what you just told me is that your circle of influence, the fourth fundamental in the Wings program, has been already, you know, begun.
He was already... I mean, he hasn't got to the point in his life where he wants to give that, all that up, all the drugs and everything. I have.
Right.
I've got to that point in my life. I'm done with it.
Yep.
He has it.
So you,
he's still involved.
You built a better circle by eliminating him. Unfortunately,
he was the main one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, he's your brother. But for you to get clean, you had to do, you know, something very difficult. You had to cut a family member out.
He was my main source. I mean, if people understood how close we were, not just my main source as emotional, you know, support. He was also, you know, financially, he was the one I depended on with, you know, how I got my bills paid, what I did for him, what kind of work I did for him. And, I mean, that was my main source of everything. And in order for me just to walk away from that, it took a lot. It really did. It took me a while to get over that. I mean, I miss him. I do. I miss him now. I miss him to death, but I love my kids more. I love my freedom. I love my life. the way it is now. Mm-hmm. A lot more. I may be broke, but it's okay. I'm fine with that.
Well, Maria, God has all the money.
Yeah.
So you follow God, and all good things will come. Where is your brother today?
He's incarcerated.
He's incarcerated mm-hmm. today. And yeah. Due to the sale of drugs? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how about, I know we spoke previously, you mentioned that you have a sister who recently was discharged.
My sister-in-law, his wife, which would be his wife. Yeah.
His wife, right?
Mm-hmm. And she just got out.
She just came out. And she served how many years?
About almost 9 years.
9 years. So, you know, in your circle, you have people who have been involved with, you know, drug use and the sale of drugs and incarceration. So, you know, what is the value of your freedom today? Having your freedom from drugs and from prison.
Number one.
Freedom
is it's everything. It means so much more now because of my kids. My kids, they see a cop and they think, oh, mom's going to go to jail. And my daughter will tense up. I don't ever want to put her through that. Just because I had the mentality that I could handle it, my kids don't.
Okay.
They don't have that mentality. I'm not raising them like that. I'm not going to raise them like that. Okay. I don't want them to ever have that mentality that, you know, oh, mom's in prison again. No, we're not going to have that. I'm not going to have that.
So you're free of drugs and you have your freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You may not have a lot of money right at this moment.
I'm fine with
but
that.
You're going to build a career.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have, would you say you have peace this morning?
Oh, God, yes. A lot more than I've ever had.
And what does that work?
You can't put a price on that.
You can't put a price on that. You can't buy the peace of God. You've got to have.
You can be broke and not have nothing. You can be homeless and have that peace right now. I mean, that's how it feels like. You know, can be. That's how I feel right now. I may not have a lot, but I have that peace to where it doesn't. It does not bother me. It really doesn't. And coming from my background to where I had money all the time, and I didn't have no worries. To where now I'm constantly, you know, I'm like, you know, living, you know, paycheck to paycheck. But you know what? I'm much happier now than I've ever been.
Wonderful. And so to change your picture financially, okay, to grow financially, mm-hmm. you have to get a career going.
Mm-hmm.
And your career can be as a counselor. But right. we want to put you into the education. That's the piece of the puzzle you're going to need because you have the life experience. And you're going to be able to touch a lot of people with the formal education coupled with your your life experience, 10 to 15 years of using dope, getting high, mm-hmm. and you're going to help a lot of people to avoid drugs and also the tough circumstances that come with that lifestyle, you know? And so this is going to be your future. Now, we only have a couple of minutes left in the show, Maria.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I want to just take a moment to applaud you for all the, you know, things you've done in coming here on the radio this morning and giving testimony and all the glory to God.
Amen.
For turning your life around and for helping you to help your children. You know, and so you've given a lot of messages here this morning, you know, related to the Word of God. And also for our listeners out there, if you have any questions, you know, for us, you can always give us a call at 215-345-1570. That's 215-345-1570. Give us a call at Holy Spirit Radio. Let us know how you like the show this morning. And, you know, again, my name is Joe Montone, your host. We're talking with Maria Allen, a reformed drug user, and she's our guest today. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be here with you, Maria, on the radio. We're here at Holy
Spirit
Radio.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
1570 AM and 1420 AM, WISP, WCOJ. And we've had many broadcasts here, Maria, with people who have success in reentry. And that's one of the main things we talk about in Finding God in Prison is how people actually found their faith and what they're doing with it to succeed in reentry. And this is one of the great messages, you know, on our show. So, again, I want to thank you for tuning in with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
It's a privilege and a pleasure to have you. I want to thank Dale and Jane for having us back on the air.
And we just want to thank Frank again for his assistance with our production this morning. I want to thank all our donors who have helped us in the past. My friends, it is the Feast of All Souls Day, and so we pray for all those loved ones who have gone before us. May God bless you, and we'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. Have a great day, and God bless you, and God bless you, Maria.
Kim.
Have a great day.
You too.